Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
I know where the average attendee of the big box church down the street thinks the music comes from. They walk in and they're ready to go, and there's the praise band up front, and they start the familiar chords of a familiar song. Maybe they were just listening to it in the parking lot on local Christian music radio. But still, that person sitting there in that service, they think, this is coming straight from the Holy Spirit. This is there are people out there inspired of God to write this music and perform it, and they're out there writing these things, and these almost next to the Bible in terms of the lyrics here. They're so good. They're so inspiring. They're so motivating. And they mean well. They do. But where is that music really coming from? Is there a connection between what that person sitting in the big box church on Sunday morning heard while they were sitting in their car waiting for the church bells to ring on Christian radio and what they hear the praise band playing in the service that follows? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 20th of August. Answer the question, what drives contemporary Christian music? The answer might surprise you on this Wednesday afternoon. Warren Colesmith will be our guest. And then a little bit later, what the heck is the Salvation Army? Is it an army? Is it a church? Was it ever a church? I know what it does now. It does a lot of good. But what is it there for and what has it been? Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, will be our guest in the next half hour of the program. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to answer the question, what drives contemporary Christian music? Warren Colesmith, he's vice president of World News Group. He's host of a radio program, Listening In, and he's author of a recent article for World Magazine titled, From Christian Radio to a Church Near You. Warren, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be on with you again.
Hey, Warren, who is Becky?
Well, that's a really good question. Becky is a mythical figure, but I say mythical, but she's very real to a lot of Christian radio stations. You know, Christian radio stations target an audience. A lot of times you might have heard expressions like, well, we target the 18 to 44-year-old female demographic. Well, the problem with that is that nobody's both 18 and 44, right? You're either 18 or 44 or somewhere in between. So radio stations got a little bit more sophisticated, especially those that program music, got a little bit more sophisticated, and they identified a particular person. They call her Becky. And it depends on the radio station, but Becky is a 34-year-old woman. She's married. She has a couple of kids. She drives a minivan. She goes to church most of the time, but maybe not every Sunday. She maybe works a little. She mostly looks after her kids, but she works a little bit outside the home. Her marriage is okay, but not great. In other words, they created a biography for Becky. And Becky has become who Christian radio stations, especially music-intensive contemporary Christian radio stations, program for. In fact, I've even been into radio stations, Todd, where there have been pictures of Becky or someone who's supposed to proxy for Becky hanging up in the radio stations. And often they'll ask the question, will Becky like this, before they decide to put it on the radio program.
Okay, so she is, in classic radio terms, she's the target.
Exactly.
I want to come back to Becky in a second, but our conversation takes place here in the context of at least two stories coming out of contemporary Christian music, the industry. Several figures have come out, and on the issue of homosexuality or gay marriage, there have been, to the shock of many fans of contemporary Christian music, some rather frank admissions. What's happened here?
Well, one particular artist, Vicky Beeching, who's written a number of very popular songs that are often sung in these, as you call them, big box churches, the large mega churches. And she's recently come out as being a lesbian. She's openly homosexual, and she posted that in social media. And several other contemporary Christian artists, including Kim Hill and Margaret Becker, who some of your listeners may be familiar with, also went on social media to affirm her decision. Then we've had other artists recently. Michael Gungor is one that we've written about. Michael Gungor and his wife lead a band called Gungor, and he came out recently expressing doubt in a historical Adam and in the biblical account of creation. And several years ago, a very popular Christian artist named Jennifer Knapp also came out as being openly lesbian. Ray Bolts, if you want to go back another 10 or 15 years, very big in Christian music, so came out as openly gay. So we, you know, every few months to year or two, we have this news come out of Christian artists, contemporary Christian musicians, either coming out as gay and lesbian or having some other sort of a moral failure, and often it doesn't affect their career very much at all. Amy Grant's career took off bigger than ever after she ended up divorcing her husband, Gary Chapman.
Okay, so what is Becky, I mean, based upon you watch the industry, you watch what's going on there, what does Becky think? I mean, this hypothetical woman who is the target of contemporary Christian music in its radio form, and I assume in its CD sale form and all that, it's all related. What do you think the industry is coming up with an answer when they're asking that question, will Becky like this? Will Becky like those admissions? Will Becky like still singing not only along while she's driving the kids to soccer practice, but on Sunday morning, songs of an artist that has now come out and said, look, I'm openly lesbian?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and one that is not super easy to answer. But let me just give you at least a partial answer to that question, Todd. One of the things that you also have to understand about Becky is that, you know, because Becky is Becky, because she is who she is, she's not theologically sophisticated. And I don't mean that as a put down. I mean, you know, how many of us are trained theologians? The answer is not many. And so Becky likes what she likes. She likes what, you know, she hears on secular pop radio, and she's looking really for Christian versions of that. That's one of the reasons why you will often hear Christian music stations say that they are, quote-unquote, safe for the entire family. That doesn't mean they're theologically deep, but they're stations that Becky can turn on and not worry about whether a profane word is going to come out of the radio. Let me say quickly, that's not a terrible thing. I affirm Becky in that desire to listen to a station where something profane doesn't come out of the radio. But because Becky is not necessarily theologically sophisticated, and in fact some surveys say that listeners to Christian music radio are only about 60% Christian, that there are as many as 40% of the people who listen to contemporary Christian radio who are not Christians. That means that they are selecting these non-Christians, these people with very limited theological understanding, are selecting based on what they purchase, what they download, what they choose to listen to, and the ratings that those stations get, what gets played on the radio. And as you said, Todd, when we opened up this segment, what gets played on the radio within a few months is often what gets played in our churches, no matter whether it's theologically sophisticated, whether it reflects the deep truths of Scripture or not.
Okay, I want to get there because that to me is the most intriguing thing, the connection between Christian radio, Christian music sales, the industry, so to speak, and what happens on Sunday morning in many churches. But first, what does it take, in your estimation, to get a song played in high rotation on a contemporary Christian music station? What kind of a song has to be produced there?
Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of Christian musicians out there that are asking that very same question. It's, you know, it's not an easy process, but one of the things that I can tell you is that if your song is heavily promoted, if you've got a big label behind you, if you've got a big publishing contract behind you, and either your publisher or your label or both have the money to promote your song heavily, that increases dramatically whether it gets played on the radio or not. So that's the reason you end up with the same artist over and over and over again appearing on not just Christian radio. This is not just true, Todd, of Christian radio. This is true of all radio. It's what Joni Mitchell called in her 1960s or early 70s era song, the star-making machinery. There really is an industry, I call it the Christian industrial complex in my article, that sort of puts out these cookie cutter songs in this process, and it's done largely with money.
Okay. Walk us through artist produces CD. Let's say he or she is fortunate enough to have that big label behind them. And so the label is able to say to the top 20 stations in the country, or a top 20 market, they're able to say, look, this is a great song. We want to see it. We really want to hear it here. Here's the CD. We'll send the artist around when they're touring. We'll set up the phone interviews, all those kinds of things that happen in the music industry, period. Okay. Where does it go from there? How does it get to a real Becky sitting in a church on Sunday morning?
Well, yeah, that's a really great question. It's important to realize that there's not just one revenue stream. In other words, the artist will make some money whenever they sell records or sell downloads. The record label will make money as well. But where a lot of money is made is in publishing rights and in personal appearances. So, like you said, if a record company is behind an artist and they have enough money and enough clout to send that artist around to the radio stations around the country, that's going to increase the likelihood that that particular artist's record gets played. If the artist is doing a concert tour, again, that increases the likelihood. The publishing rights become an important part of the revenue stream. There is a company called CCLI, the Christian Clearinghouse Licensing Incorporated will have the rights for these songs to be played in churches. Maybe I should back up and explain that a little bit better, Todd. In other words, if I want to play a particular song in my church on a Sunday morning, I need to buy a license from CCLI that will give me access to their catalog in order to do that. The larger the church, the more my licensing fee will be. So the big mega churches are providing a significant part of the revenue for CCLI, and then CCLI in turn distributes that money back to the artist or whoever owns the copyright on the song. Usually it's actually the songwriter. So again, that creates a revenue stream, all of which feeds this Christian industrial complex and its tendency to put these songs on the radio. People hear them. People want to sing them in church. The churches pay money for the rights to sing them in church. That money then goes back and feeds the beginning of the process again.
So you're saying that churches paying the licensing fees, the royalties in effect, for the use of these songs by their own in-house praise band or whatever, they are a major source of revenue to the contemporary Christian music industry.
Yeah, they are a source of revenue. You know, I think it would depend on the artist and on the song as to whether it was a major source of revenue. But I will say that in the aggregate, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars every year that are going from churches through CCLI. And then a portion, obviously CCLI keeps a portion of that money as well. I mean, that's how they stay in business. But then that money goes back to the copyright holders. And Todd, I want to be really clear. You know, if you look at each cog in this wheel individually, it's not necessarily a negative thing, right? I mean, the fact that CCLI exists allows churches to legally play those songs. The fact that CCLI exists allows songwriters and copyright holders to actually get paid. As a writer myself, I care about intellectual property, and I think people that own copyrights should be protected. The problem is that if each of these individual cogs in the wheel, while they may be relatively benign or even serve a positive purpose in and of themselves, when you put them all together, they create a machine that gives us this particular result, which is Becky, someone who may not even be a Christian, has a major say in the music that we're singing in our worship services every Sunday morning in America.
You tell, this is kind of on the angle of, look, anyone who performs, whether you speak publicly, I do that, whether you are a musician, whether you have any kind of the performance, you know how to read an audience, you know what affects an audience, especially musicians learn this.
Yep.
That's what performance is, learning to read an audience and then to kind of bring the audience along with you. You tell what might be an apocryphal story about the late musician Rich Mullins and kind of the maybe jaded view that some of these musicians will eventually adopt about the alleged action of the Holy Spirit through their music.
Yeah, well, it is a bit jaded, but on the other hand, I would have to say that it's also, there's a real wisdom and a real truth in it, too. And I think when Rich, if this story is true, I think it reflects something of Rich Mullins' character and heart. The story goes like this, that Rich Mullins did a concert, and after the concert, a fan came up and you know, said, you know, Rich, I loved your show, and on this particular song, on this particular verse, I really felt the Holy Spirit fall. And it was, you know, just a very powerful moment. And Rich Mullins reportedly said, again, I've really tried several times in several different ways to confirm the story. I've heard it several times from people, but I can't absolutely confirm it. But Rich Mullins reportedly said, well, that may have been the Holy Spirit, but it also might have been the kick drum, which came in on the second verse of that song. And what Rich Mullins was acknowledging was just how easy, sometimes too easy it is, to manipulate emotionally an audience and make them believe that it really is the Holy Spirit. But, you know, and that's not to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't work through our emotions. I believe he absolutely does. But people who are going to be unscrupulous can use that gift of the emotions that God has given us to manipulate us. I think it's really important to remember, Todd, that Satan doesn't create anything. Only God creates. Satan, though, can corrupt, can pollute, can manipulate, and so often he will use God's good gifts, and by polluting and corrupting them, we use them for his ends.
Warren Cole Smith is our guest. We're talking about what drives contemporary Christian music. He's vice president of World News Group and host of a radio program, Listening In. He's written a recent article for World Magazine, From Christian Radio to a Church Near You.
Night after night, who treats you right, baby? It's the guitar man. Who's on the radio? You go listen to the guitar man. When he comes to town and you see his face.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
If you're in a small parish, you know how difficult it can be to find an organist when your musician is sick, has a family emergency, or simply wants a week off to visit the grandkids. Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows you to select your hymns and liturgy to be sent to an iPad that plays your church's organ. The best way to learn more is to log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit. There are no obligations and there's no sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
this generation has told all the previous generations to shut up, to keep silent.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Instead of the church's classical way of operating, supplementation, we've replaced the heritage of proclamation in song that reaches back to the earliest centuries with only the song of now.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Hymnody, and all of the teachings from the 2014 Making the Case Conference on a new audio DVD for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkner, answering the question, what drives contemporary Christian music, with Warren Cole Smith on this Wednesday afternoon. He's author of a recent article for World Magazine titled, From Christian Radio to a Church Near You. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Warren, we talked before the break about kind of the acknowledgement that these things can be manipulated. You're not saying that Christian artists ought not to get paid for what they do.
That's absolutely right. I think Christian artists should get paid. I think songwriters should get paid. And also, too, I really affirm what a lot of these Christian radio stations are doing in their attempts to understand their audience and to put music or put programming on the air that meets some of the real needs that their audience has. But I just think it's important, Todd, that we understand, especially in this day and age, whenever hymnody is no longer really a part of the big box church world, that what is played on the radio ends up in our churches, often weeks or even usually no longer than months later. And we need to be very aware of who's selecting that music. If we are in a leadership position in our churches, we need to exercise discernment. We shouldn't just assume that just because a song shows up on Christian radio that it is doctrinally sound, it is teaching our congregations what they need. I'm also not saying that there's not a lot of great music being written today. I think there's great music being written in all age, and I would affirm, young Christian performers and songwriters who feel like that they have been, called by God to do this. But as an old mentor of mine said it when I was in graduate school studying English literature, he said it this way: I think there are a lot of great books being written today. We just won't know what they are for another 50 years, because those are the books that I would say the same is true of songs, that stand the test of time, that really meet the needs of people, not just today, but meet the deeper needs of all people over time. You know, when I look back at some of the songs that were on Christian radio 30 years ago and listen to them today, I sometimes cringe at, how cheesy they sound. And yet, when we listen to an old song like, Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress, that's a song that resonates in our spirits and in our intellects even today, even though it was written many hundreds of years ago. And so we won't know really what the great songs of our age are for years to come.
You talked about contemporary Christian music 30 years ago, and that's when my exposure was it through Christian radio. It was just taking off as a real money-making enterprise. People realized if you're in radio playing music, a great way to generate revenue is contemporary Christian music. We didn't call it that back then. We called it Christian rock. But I remember there were naive days. I go back to the days when you could see Amy Grant in a 1,000-seat theater. So she wasn't playing the big venues yet, although she was about to. And I remember, was it Steve Green? Am I thinking of the right guy? This kind of former hippie played some beautiful music, but he didn't sell his albums. He gave them
that's
away.
Right. You're thinking of Keith Green.
Keith Green, that's right. Yep. And just was a very talented musician, kind of a little prophetic voice back in those days, but there was such a naivete that, you know, this is, I'm just going to give my stuff away. People will give a free will offering, and it's not about making the money. Do a lot of people who still consume that industry's product from contemporary Christian music simply assume that that's kind of how the industry works?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think that there is today, unfortunately, or I don't know, maybe it is fortunately, an understanding that that is probably not how the industry works anymore. I think that folks are, you know, a little bit more sophisticated about how the industry works. But, you know, Todd, I would say that just because we are more sophisticated, that does not make us wiser. That does not mean that we are immune to the, again, what I call the Christian industrial complex and the way that it has infiltrated our churches, not always in bad ways, but sometimes in bad ways. And as Christians, especially as leaders in churches, as I anticipate that many of your listeners are, they wouldn't be listening to this program if they didn't have a, you know, a serious interest in the things of God and spiritual matters. We have to be discerning about the way this process works. We have to understand how, whether the intentions of the music makers are good or bad, that the end result is nonetheless one that can manipulate us and manipulate our churches if we are not wise and discerning about guarding against that manipulation.
How much of this, a couple of final questions for you, Warren. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Amy Grant, and she crossed over shortly after her, or actually in conjunction with her divorce from her first husband. Mm-hmm. And how much of the music, contemporary Christian music industry, in terms of the artists, are people who say, look, this is a great, I'm a Christian, it's a great place to make music, but I'd really like to be, you know, get one of those country music awards. And they're aiming to cross over, or the industry is saying, look, we can cross you over from exclusively Christian to something, a hybrid of both.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great question. And once again, I'm not trying to beg off of this, but I can't look into the hearts of every single person other than to say that there is no doubt that some of that is going on. I mean, that we mentioned Michael Gungor and the band Gungor at the beginning. We've seen bands like Jars of Clay, for example, Derek Webb. Maybe these names are not familiar to your listeners, but they're names that are pretty big in the world of contemporary Christian music who have attempted to leave their, in some cases, leave their Christian roots behind. But on the other hand, I would also cite musicians like Michael Card and Andrew Peterson, and we've mentioned the late Rich Mullins. These are folks that, in my view, are making great music, are unabashed, unashamed, proclaiming the gospel in very clear and direct ways, and are not in it for the money. In fact, Rich Mullins had a board, an independent board of directors that would set his salary based on the average youth pastor salary in America. And all the rest of that money went into a fund that he gave away. And he made millions of dollars. I recently interviewed Rich's brother, David Mullins, because a new movie has come out about the life of Rich Mullins called Ragamuffin. And David Mullins told me that over the years they've given away literally millions of dollars in royalties from Rich Mullins' music. That's an exercise of integrity that is out there that we should celebrate, but unfortunately is all too rare in the world of contemporary Christian music today.
Finally, this is what you've written. I'd like you to explain it here with a minute or so before we wrap up. You say that money fuels the ongoing marketing of the songs that generate more royalties, which encourage more of the same. The net effect is this, you say. Bands that make music that survives in this system thrive, but the ones that get lost in the noise do not. It is a perverse cycle that contributes to many pathologies in the modern evangelical church. What do you mean by that, Warren?
Well, what I mean is that the only, that not the only songs, but among the most popular songs to get played are what are sometimes called the sometimes disparagingly, sometimes in humor, the 7-Eleven songs, where you sing the same seven words 11 times over and over and over again. What the Bible sometimes calls vain repetition. And that's not to say that all songs that repeat are engaging in vain repetition, but I would argue that if you listen to some of these contemporary Christian music songs closely, you would discover that some are. So what we end up with, again, these pathologies in the church that I mentioned, these pathologies are shallow music, shallow worship that, because it has a manipulative emotional element, is mistakenly perceived as a rich encounter with God and a rich encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the other thing that gets perpetuated is that folks that have a true artistic vision that doesn't fit in with what is popular on the radio today often have no place within our modern church. It's hard for me to imagine, for example, that someone like a Martin Luther or a Johann Sebastian Bach could thrive in the contemporary church culture of today, because they loved the Lord, but they had such a singular vision that that made them countercultural, not consistent with the culture. And those are the kind of voices that get shut down in the Christian industrial complex. And those are the kind of voices, I argue, that we need today more than ever.
Warren Cole Smith is vice president of World News Group. He is host of the radio program Listening In, author of a recent article for World Magazine titled From Christian Radio to a Church Near You. We will post a link to World Magazine and to Listening In under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Warren, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. It's been great. Enjoyed it very much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You see the trucks, you see the receptacles for your donations every year, come tax time, the Salvation Army. What is it? I mean, most people, probably their picture of the Salvation Army comes from the musical Guys and Dolls. Is it a church? Is it an army? What is it all about? Dr. Alvin Schmidt will answer that question after this. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? AdCrucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with AdCrucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.